A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled, another edition of the program. Thanks for being with us. You can always download the show via podcast, anywhere podcasts are found. So if you think to yourself, ooh, I'm not in the car all the time to be able to listen to Scott Mitchell's hot takes, but I want to hear them, you'll be able to get them via the podcast every day. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, 20-some-odd miles away at the KSL Draper Annex. Everything good on your end, bro?
Yeah, I want to hear my hot takes, too.
So we're going to jump right in. And, man, the world of sports has a lot of responsibilities. Currently, it's not to actually play sports. But it's to make commentary on some of the things that are going on. Everybody has to make a comment or not make a comment. And if you do one or do the other, you're going to be in trouble either way. It's our 8:05 cut. We're going to start right there on the program. So lend an ear.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so before we make it too political, Scott, I do want to know, what's the responsibility of athletes in all this? Now, my wife was telling me last night, she goes, look, she follows all these people on Instagram, and people are absolutely going after the people she follows and is like, hey, you haven't said anything about this yet, and your silence, it speaks volumes. Just like we talked about with the NFL owners the other day. Them not saying anything speaks volumes. Now, it's a little different when all of their – I feel like their employees, the majority of their employees on their football team are men of color. And that's, I think, why people feel like there's more responsibility for them to say something. But there is a thing where everybody – she was like, these people are getting her, you know, quote-unquote influencers that she follows. They're getting killed either not saying anything or not saying the right thing And Drew Brees yesterday got caught up in this too, because in what he thought was a pretty innocuous interview on ESPN, and Drew Brees doesn't mess up very often. That's the other
right
thing. He is like a PR machine. He knows exactly what to say. This is Walter Payton, man of the year, for the NFL guy in the past. And so he knows exactly how to handle himself in public. He's beloved by almost everybody who's around him, except for Aaron Rodgers. But the thing is that this guy yesterday makes these comments, and it was all day.
I don't think Drew Brees is wrong. Okay.
Well, so what he said was this. Let me set it up, and then you can tell me. He said, look, I think anybody disrespecting the flag, you're not going to have – I'm not going to agree with anybody who's going to disrespect the flag. And I think what happened – not I think what happened. Most of the people that got on to comment about his comments about Colin Kaepernick – and then they are also, you know, putting it in the George Floyd category as well. They got on there saying, look, this has nothing to do with disrespecting the flag. This is about a guy being murdered, allegedly by the police.
Right. And so I think it's two separate issues. And that's why I don't think he's wrong in this. And that he look, I'm sure he's all about doing the right thing. And I don't think he in any way condones what happened to George Floyd. I just think he said, when we're at work and in any circumstance, disrespecting the flag is not something I believe in, and he should be able to make that statement. I don't have a problem with that. I just think people kind of combined the two and said, and the reason people were disrespecting the flag was because of what happened to George Floyd, that this type of thing goes on in America. And Colin Kaepernick was just trying to bring people's attention to it in a way he thought was the best way to bring light to it. And Drew Brees just disagreed, not necessarily that this issue happens, but the way to protest about it.
Yeah.
And the bottom line with all this, and I've been thinking about this. You talked about the NFL and some of these people. Why haven't they come out and said anything?
Specifically, the owners are getting beat up over it.
They probably feel like no matter what we say, we could be wrong. But also, they realize our business isn't social justice. It's not about affecting change in the world. It's about
They pretend like it is, though. Like they run the commercials when they're like, "Look, we stand.
We all put on the good face." Okay, but what really has the NFL done in its entire existence to really help make change in society? I mean, they've had a rule in place for minority hiring. Like they specifically, you have to interview a minority candidate, and what has it led to? Nothing. And so I think I kind of equate
the coaches the minority coaches who are qualified and like are the guys who get hired, right? I mean, you think about probably the most recognized minority coach in the NFL is who? Mike Tomlin. Probably,
yeah, but my point about it, Alex, isn't who's getting hired. My point is they've had incentives. They've had initiatives.
They put things out
there.
They
try to put them out there, but it's lip service. All of this is lip service, if you want my opinion. And here's why I think it is. We live in a world of insanity. We keep saying and doing the same things over and over and expect it to change. When I came back from The Biggest Loser, my goodness, I was in the best shape of my life, Alex. Unbelievable. I swore to myself, I will never go back. I will never go back to being overweight. And guess what? I got back into my same world, the one that I had lived in for years and years and years, the same habits, the same things. And guess what? Nothing changed. It stayed the same. So if you're looking for professional football to change our society, everyone's going to be disappointed. Everyone's going to be disappointed with all of these athletes if you're looking for them to change our society. Those changes have to come from other places. It doesn't mean players or the league shouldn't support or agree with these things, but I'm not sure that they're capable, or if there's really, I'm just being blatantly honest here, or if there's really a willingness from the league and from the players to really step out there and say.
What could the NFL do more then?
They can't do anything. What? Stop playing football? I mean, they're not geared for that. They're just, they've done it. When the stuff came out with Colin Kaepernick, they created this task force, and I think they funded it with like $85 million. And they said, okay, you, the players in the league, you come to us with your issues, with causes that we can get behind. And there was fighting over, you know, where the money should go and who should get it and all of these things. And have you heard anything? I haven't heard a thing about it. I haven't heard, you know, have they helped people out? Have they done anything? I don't know. And you never do. I learned this as an NFL player. They're interested in one thing, putting a product on the field, and it's what have you done for me lately that really matters to the NFL. That's all that matters. And they don't care what kind of individual you are, for the most part. What they care about is a product going on the field that's called football.
Let's take a break here. We're going to come back. We've got updates, of course, with the NBA. You talk about a league that is committed to getting going. Everybody should look and see what Adam Silver is doing in the NBA to try to figure out how to get their league back on the field, back on the court, the right way. Because I think the NBA is doing it right. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Drew Brees, of course, today throwing out a ton of apologies, mostly to his teammates. These are guys who yesterday pleaded and cussed at him and tried to make change that way, and he came today full on with the apology. So we've got so much more to talk about. So stay right here with us. It's KSL's Unrivaled right here on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex, Keery, and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Having another glorious time this evening. Many thanks to Bill Riley, voice of the Utah Utes, for joining us on the program. And listen, here's what I wanted to say before we get to this next topic here, Scott, because Florida State has got a real problem, and that is, and you know, it's one thing these days to try to feel like you need to say the right thing and getting caught up and you know, maybe even saying something that you don't believe. You're just saying it because the PR, you know, is part of it. And that's where Florida State's coach has gotten caught up, because it has gotten extremely weird down there. By the way, this is a program that hires a new head coach and is trying to figure out exactly how to move forward. And then on top of all of it, with the things that we've seen across the country after George Floyd's death and the responses from the athletes across the country, Florida State has had a real problem, because Mike Norvell, the head coach, said that he reached out to all of his African-American players, all of his players of color on the team, to have a back and forth about what had happened. And the actual the tweet that was sent out was, you know, we've talked with all these guys and
had a lot of back and forth
had a lot of back and forth with them, personally chatted with each and every one of these guys this weekend on the team. And the athletes are coming out by the dozens and saying, this never happened. And I'm like thinking to myself, Scott, what on earth would possess a guy to feel like he just needs to say that and not just do it? I mean, look, what else do you have going on? They're not. Well, you're not doing normal practices. You're not doing normal stuff. Reaching out and talking to these guys would have been an easy thing. Having to backtrack and say, "Yeah, I lied about that," is going to be a lot of work for yourself, there, buddy.
Well, and he probably thought maybe no one would really, you know, call him out on the semantics of it. You know, in his mind, maybe he thought he did.
It's like,
and
I sent a group text out. Yeah, that's right. What I'm saying.
Yeah. Isn't that how we communicate today with these young players?
I don't know. That's how each and every one of them individually on a group text.
Look, most coaches, when they open their mouth, lie. So, and a player should understand that and shouldn't be like upset with it. You know, it's like,
no, they got to be upset about this.
You come to Florida State and you're going to be. Yeah, I get that. I understand. What I think was the most shocking to me was the player didn't just go roll his eyes and go, yeah, that's coach again. He just said, no, we're not taking this. We're not going to work out anymore. We're not doing anything until this. We think this is wrong. Now, he probably didn't say anything, but just the fact that he was not being honest with how he portrayed this with his team. And I guess they worked it out and it was fine. I just don't see or it's certainly a new era when these players are just saying, you know, hey, coach, sorry, you're that authoritative figure, but you're not. You know, we have a voice. We're on social media, and we have a way of calling these types of things out. The curious thing for me, though, Alex, is what happens during the season. Because this coach is like, he's probably been embarrassed by his player, and he's
But Marvin Wilson is like he's beyond their best defensive lineman.
I understand,
you know what
that.
I mean? Like,
I understand that.
We've had this discussion on the show too. Like, if you're the best guy on the team, there's nothing you can really do. The coach is going to get you on the field whatever way possible.
Well, there's certainly a different set of rules. I'm just saying, it will be interesting to see if, you know, maybe there's maybe he's left off a certain preseason teams. Maybe he doesn't get the same kind of attention. There's all kinds of things. These coaches yield a lot of power and a lot of influence, and it'll be interesting to just kind of see what gets out there or what happens. I'm not saying anything about this is right or wrong. I'm just saying there are often times when players have issues with coaches, personality issues, different kinds of conflicts, and it impacts sometimes their playing time. It impacts it can impact their future. It can impact a lot of things, and it doesn't matter if they're good or bad. And I've been a part of it. I've had it done to me before. I've witnessed it with other players, and it exists.
I look at what Marvin Wilson did, and then he came and his coach, I'll tell you what happened. His coach reached out immediately to them and said, how can we fix this? Because they said they're not going to work out until it happened, right? We're not working out until this happened, until you actually come to us, the players, and you say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have used you guys as some sort of weird pawn in this scheme to, you know, try to look like you're doing the right thing, because that's what he was doing.
Right.
And then he's like, and the players, to their credit, Marvin Wilson today said on his Instagram account, thank you to coach. We made some real progress. Coach called us and we are making things right. He's making things right. And we're coming together and we're going to be an amazing team again. And I thought that's how you get it done. Right. And it's him saying, hey, you lied, and then him reaching – and then the coach reaching out, everybody having a little bit of humility, right, and going, I am sorry. That was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. And then the player going, you know what? I want to move forward then. Let's move forward and let's be an awesome team, not this I'm never going to respect you. It's like people today who are forgiving Drew Brees over the last couple of days are being punished now for forgiving Drew Brees, right? His former players who said, we're not standing for this. Drew, you better apologize, and then he did. He apologized for his comments that he made, and then people said, hey, yeah, man, we forgive you. Let's move forward. And people aren't having that. That's not good enough. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants more outrage. You got to have outrage, and then you got to have more outrage, right? Otherwise, it's not real or something. I don't know. But I like how it ended, just in the sense that the coach was like, I was an idiot. The players were like, fine, we forgive you. Let's move forward. You know, that's the way it should be. That's the civil dialogue thing I think we're talking about. And
I couldn't agree more.
I'm so glad the Florida State players, like, imagine. I mean, there are some programs this could never happen in, right? There are some programs you couldn't say, coach is lying. Coach is a liar. You know what I mean? Like, unless it was guys who were already on the way out. Unless it was guys who were never going to, or who had previously been you know, players. And so I look at it and I go, massive win, because everybody kind of figured it out. And people are getting things wrong right now with what they're saying. And we run this weird risk. I mean, we're on the air. I'm on the air 3 hours a night. And you just think to yourself, oh, man, what is the thing that I'm going to say?
What did I say tonight to
right,
get everyone
where
upset?
Where somebody is going to misconstrue what I said. And they go, oh, you have no idea. White privilege, et cetera. And I'll be like, I don't know what are we referring to? I'm not sure what I said.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of that going on. And there's the ignorance going on. And then there's the willful disregard for humanity on the other side. And that's where we need to figure out how to defeat that. All right. Let's take the quick break here. We'll come back. We've got more to talk about. Hey, some of the, whoa, I don't know why that music started playing. I mean, settle down. Jeez, over here, Kiri. All right. Now we've got it. See, buttons are. It's COVID, Scott. That's all I'm saying. When we come back, I want to talk about how the NCAA has had to make some shifts in previous rulings on hiring an agent, going into the draft, and then being able to come back to football. We'll have that discussion next. Stay right here with us. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled continues.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome on back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, right here with you. You can always join the program via the podcast if you ever want to if you never want to miss an episode of KSL's Unrivaled, Scott, you go to Apple Podcasts. Wherever it is that you people who own Androids go. Or you can just go do the thing where you go on to KSLSports.com, click on the podcast button, and that's where you'll see Scott and I. So you'll never miss out on an episode. Scott, we got to jump into this next portion of the show. This one is sneaking by a lot of news outlets in terms of what the ramifications could be, and that is – and we actually, I think at some point, this was a two-minute drill for us like a long time ago when Arizona State's punter had declared for the draft as a redshirt sophomore, okay? And we were like, okay, this is a little bit much. And the thing was is that he went in and he's first-team All-Pac-12, Michael Turk, and he's returning to ASU after entering the draft, hiring an agent, not going through all the combine stuff, the punter workouts with a lot of different teams, and he did not get drafted. So he said, oh, well, I'm going to try to go back to college, which is a massive no-no, has been a massive no-no forever. And the NCAA decided that they will grant him a waiver, allowing him to return to play at Arizona State after all that. And here we are, totally missing, after all this, we are totally missing the fact that this is something that needs to be talked about. Because this kid, he didn't suddenly combustion or anything after he declared that he was going to come back. He didn't die. Nothing happened. I don't know if this will establish anything because he's a punter, Scott, but does this change the way that the NCAA is going to look at things going forward?
Well, I think it does just for this year because, look, with the pandemic, with everything shut down, it would be difficult, especially for a punter. You have to people want to see you in person, and not having that ability to do it is a challenge. From the NCAA's side of it, it's like, look, why do we – it is a punter. You know, it's not like he's going to have this massive impact on a game. Now, Kyle Whittingham will argue with you that he loves his punters because he's a field position coach. But in most of college football, it's not like he's the starting quarterback or he's someone who has a massive impact on the game. So it's like, yeah, whatever. You want to come back, fine. We don't care. Yeah, it's a COVID season. We get it. You know, whatever. I mean, and he does have a valid point. The player does. He has a massive valid point.
Why couldn't everybody do this, though?
Well, no, I agree with you. Look, I'm all for that. I did that. And you don't know what your position is. You really don't. You do not know. And the draft is a funny thing. And you watch how these teams rate players and how players, you know, just where they are in positions, good players can slide. And the draft can be a crazy thing. And it always is a crazy thing. So being able to go, yes, your position is shaky. It's precarious because everyone thinks they're the best player in the world,
right?
So then they think, you know, they're going to be drafted. But the reality is the NFL doesn't think that way. So being able to test the waters and get a real evaluation, and I don't know how you get that because every team's going to evaluate you differently. But I think you can get a sense that yes, teams like you or they don't, And I think there should be a way maybe that some information is made available to players to get an idea of where they really are, because it's going to help the NFL. It's going to help the NCAA too, because you have these players and the NFL just goes, you're not ready for this. We're not going to accept you now. And they go, great. We're going to go back. And the NFL goes, great, because we want you to get better. Joe Burrow is a great example of this, where he was not the best player in college football, far from it. And he massively improved over a year, and he's not the only player that does that, and that happens all the time. I just hate, and I remember when this kid came out after his redshirt sophomore year, and I was just like, ooh, that's a huge risk. And I hate to see players make those kind of decisions and have to live with it, especially at such a young age and a pivotal time in their life, you know, that where these decisions affect you for a long time. So I love that he could come back. Maybe it will become more of a norm. I don't know, but certainly it's a norm in the crazy world that we live in now.
I wonder, too, and this is one of those where I'm, you know, I defer to the people who've gone through it. But, you know, we've watched it, and I'm just such a huge advocate for these guys who are athletes in college now. And you notice how I worded that. I'm not bending over backwards calling them student athletes, right? I mean, not because they're not, but what – I think what college wants you to do is to just think that, hey, this is amateur, these are amateurs and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that if a guy goes to the NFL draft, NBA draft, Major League Baseball draft or whatever, it's not where they want to go or it's not what they want to do. I mean, baseball actually makes it quite easy. But in a lot of these cases, these guys can't do what they want to do because the all-seeing eye in its ivory tower, the NCAA guys are going, no, this would ruin everything if you're to go out and see what your value is on the pro market and then to come back after that. It's ridiculous. I mean, think about Yoeli Childs being punished those 9 games, right, at the beginning of this year. And imagine BYU without Yoli Childs. It's easy to go, man, they didn't have Yoli. If they would have had Yoli Childs this year, they would have been way better. But after he came back for those nine games, they were undefeated, I think, maybe until one or two of those games. But every game he was in, they were in. And but here's the thing, NCAA. It's better for your institution for him to come back. Like, which one do you want? You don't want one-and-done guys, or you do? Which one is it? Because if you do this, you'll get fewer one-and-done guys. You'll get guys who are at a pretty high talent level who go to that combine who are thinking that they're really awesome. They get totally told all the things they need to do to improve. They go back to college, and it's good for the game.
What's happening all the time on college campuses? They have these career days or these career festivals. They have all these companies come in. People are looking for internships.
They have real conversations with actual recruiters.
And they go, right, and they're like, hey, because what is college? College is an opportunity for you to prepare yourself for your future and go out and get a job. And so they don't just say, no, you can't talk to IBM or Apple. Can't talk to them. Well, have you been in school for 3 years? Well, once you talk to them, you know, and declare that you're going to graduate from here, you're out. You're ineligible.
So
they allow it for everything else. And this is such a special opportunity that most people don't get in college where, I mean, you can go financially and put yourself in a really good position for the rest of your life. And why wouldn't you want a university to help you out with that and get the best information possible to make the best decision for your future? It makes no sense to me.
I want the best product on the field, and guess what? The best punter for Arizona State is this guy.
He's a good punter too.
Yeah,
he's
a really good punter. First team Pac-12 guy, yeah. And imagine it being a running back, and it just didn't work out. Imagine those guys are at the positions thinking that they were going to get drafted, they end up not getting drafted, or a free agent, you know, signing that they didn't want or whatever. They didn't feel like it was time. And to be able to say, hey, you know what, agent, here's your $37,000 back. I don't need it. And I want to play. I want to keep playing to see if I can improve. All right.
And just think, Alex, a punter shall lead them.
Oh, my goodness. Ridiculous. All right. We're taking the break here. We come back. Hey, 2-minute drill right around the corner. Stay with us right here. KSL's Unrivaled continues. Okay, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on a Friday evening. So kicking off your weekend here. Hopefully it goes well for you. I know I've got some garage cleaning still left. Scott, you going to get out of the house, do some fishing?
I hope so.
Bad weather. Bad weather, bro.
Not so hot, you know.
Which is kind of nice. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I'm sad for your windy, rainy situation. It's likely going to be the cause of you not fishing very much this weekend. But I need a break from 95 already in May.
Really?
Or from May. We had the last week of May was super hot. First week of June here's been really hot. I want this cool off a little bit to happen, and then I want to run my AC all the time. All right. Are you full on running the AC, by the way?
Full on?
Full on. Well, I don't mean like all the time, but I'm just saying. You're in AC season now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Okay. Well, so is everybody else. It's kind of a bummer. It's kind of early. Scott, we're going to kick off with the old music here. This music means we're at the end of the program, and at the end of the program, we do a two-minute drill. What is a two-minute drill?
Well, the two-minute drill comes at the end of the game, and you try to hurry down the field and score to win. And our show, we're at the end of our show, same thing. We got a lot to talk about here at the end, not a lot of time to talk about it, so we want to get all these things in. So we talk a little bit about a lot of things, and we win our show.
There you go. So, Scott, first things right off the bat. I know you have a story out of Texas. My native land. Tell me what happened. What's going on with the governor of Texas in sports?
Well, the governor of Texas, George Abbott, says that at the professional
Abbott
says that professional and college stadiums in Texas can operate at 50% capacity.
Wait, did you say colleges too?
Professional and college.
Holy.
So that's every other seat, I guess.
No, I'd prefer like a just one side of the stadium.
Oh, and just cram them all on one side? Kind of like they do concerts?
Just so you can see that the game looks like it's full. Like, if you let TV executives do it, or like, you know, they go, oh, wow, look at the stands. And then they're just creative with not showing the empty parts of the stadium.
Right.
Although if it's 50% capacity, it would look still pretty full everywhere. depending on
when I saw 50% capacity, I was like, wow, that's generous.
I thought so too.
I mean, we're hearing like
we're
no fans
about, we're
or few
about
fans,
no fans
or, right.
or like an every fourth seat type situation. Yeah. And to go straight on in June, this idea of going. Now here's the question: as a consumer, Scott, and I'm not talking about media darling Scott with his credential on up in the booth. I'm talking about you sitting one seat between you and the stranger on your right and the stranger on your left. Are you comfortable as a consumer going to a game like that right now?
Where you have that separation?
Yes.
Look, you got to take anything you can get right now.
What does that mean? No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
You don't have to take anything.
Yes. Just go and and spread yourselves out. I like it because I need more room anyway. So
it's actually true. There's a lot of fat guys across the world that are going, you know,
they're happy people right
now.
This
is good. This is a good deal.
Yes,
this
they
is
are.
A good deal. But that's but I just wonder if the majority of people who hear that go, awesome, I'm there. Or if they go, yeah, not quite.
Well, when you have your family and you hang out together and there's kind of this, what an exciting moment, you turn and high five and, you know, grab arms and there's an excitement. And then there's, of course, if you remember our Yankees-Astros trash-talking game,
yeah. We had to get up every 4 seconds for the guys going to the bathroom.
Do you get that same kind of, you know, banter going back and forth with fans in the stands or, you know, some of that just, you know, part of just the fan experience?
I will say,
I don't know.
Seat distance between seats will be very hard to regulate on the bench, though. You know what I'm talking about? Those aluminum bench seatings. That will be hard to regulate. But there will also be opportunity to just spread out even more because if I was sitting in the stands and I looked up and there was a section that had, like, nobody in it, I'd probably go up there if I was uncomfortable with being at the stadium. But I'm wondering if people are going to be on top of buying the tickets because it's been – now, the question – I mean, Texas is going that direction. How long would it take for the state of Utah to get there?
Probably. Maybe they get there by the time the season starts.
Probably
it's
get
a
there.
Long time, Alex, before we get there. A lot of I think those questions will be very clear by the time the season starts. They'll be able to say, "Yes, we will be able to do this," and I think they're just kind of waiting till the very end to see how much they can actually do and get away with.
I wonder if there are going to be. Because every time we go on the road, think about when you go on the road and you see all those fans who hit the road to go see that game. You know, when you go to USC versus Utah down there in LA, I mean, it's an event for folks who are traveling from Utah. That's a massive deal to go to the Coliseum to watch Utah still not win at the Coliseum. I mean, that's an amazing thing.
Fans love going to do that. Yeah.
So my question is, what about the people who could travel still to get to that place for a 50% capacity ticket?
Well, it's again, the travel thing, I think, exposes more people to being around and catching it. And so, you know, maybe there's no visiting fans in the stands. I don't know. Because, you know, or maybe everyone has to wear a mask. I don't know what you do about it. It is a fun thing. I know a lot of people love to look at the Pac-12 schedule for Utah and say, okay, are we going to L.A.? Are we going to go to Phoenix? Are we going to go to Seattle? You know, does Utah play Oregon? That's a fun place to go. And fans love it. You know, you see a lot of people travel and follow Utah or go to Stanford. And, you know, they love those opportunities. You hate to see them denied. And I mean, and I've said this before, that the Pac-12, you know, seating other than Oregon, Washington, Utah, and USC. I mean, everyone else is at half capacity anyway, so I don't know that it matters.
Next up on the old two-minute drill, let me get through here. Michael Thomas, among other players, have said they accept Drew Brees' apology. They're moving forward. That's amazing. The question is, when Drew Brees goes to different cities, because other owners are saying Drew Brees might be treated very, very poorly all the cities he goes in now.
This is bull crap about Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a good dude. Yeah, he's just a good guy. I don't want to hear it.
There's a reason he's
a good guy. These guys know And he goes, look, I messed up. I'm not an insensitive guy. Of course, I value all of people and the human race, and I don't think it's right what's happened. So, yes, Drew Brees is going to say, you know, his teammates are going to like him, and this will all, you know, this isn't going to be a black eye for Drew Brees forever. No way.
So on top of all this, hockey is dealing with the same situation of trying to decide when they're going to start the season or start the playoffs. The NHL has finalized their playoff format as they've had a couple of players on key teams test positive for COVID, but they're still moving forward with all of that. What's the balance then? Do you shut it all down? At what point do you go, nope, too many people have it? Versus, you know, the conversation we had with Bill Riley yesterday, which was, hey, you know what? Some guys are going to get it. We know people are going to still get it. We can't stop it from totally going away, but we just try to manage it. So how do you do that without looking insensitive to the rest of the public?
I think, you know, as we thought through this and talked through this, I think you just have to – if a person shows signs, of course they'll be tested on a regular basis. They show signs, they're out. And they're out for 2 weeks, and that's the end of the story. If it becomes like problematic, like everyone's getting it and it's going on, then obviously they'll shut it down. But I'm sure if they're just a few cases here and there, that they'll actually just pull them out of the rotation or whatever, and move on. Just like maybe they got an injury, they got sick, whatever. I don't see that as being any different.
All right, Scott Mitchell. Hey. Enjoy the weekend, buddy.
Hey, you too.
Thanks for hanging out again. As we will always be right here with you on KSL's Unrivaled. You can come back on Monday. We'll be back again right here on KSL News Radio. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We'll talk to you then, everybody.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
I may be super, but
I am no hero. Nightside on KSL. A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. This is a limited edition spring, well, now summer season of the Nightside Project. Is it officially summer?
No.
I always remember what day is officially summer.
No, you know how we do it in media, though. We twist it. We take the facts of June 20th, June 21st of actual summer, and we've already made it summer on the Nightside Project.
We're the worst.
So. Well, it feels like it, though. In our defense is the lamestream media, Ethan. It's been really hot this week. So just and school's over. So officially, so there you go.
Can I segue here?
Why not? It's your show just as much as it is mine.
You know who else was feeling the heat this week?
Who?
Morgan Scalley.
Yes. Specifically,
how about that for a segue?
That's a good segue.
So, Morgan Scalley, if you don't know, if you haven't heard about this, he is the defensive coordinator for the University of Utah football program. And men's football program.
Yes.
And he apparently used a terrible racial slur in a text message involving a recruit back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And this has now been admitted. He's been suspended with pay. And what's interesting to me, Alex, is while this text message, a screenshot of the text conversation has been threatened to be put out on social media, as far as I could tell, it hasn't actually appeared yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything either. I will say I haven't really searched for it, but there.
I did. I searched for it.
There has been tale of those things, like of. I've heard of the this is what the context is of it and everything, and
the same person that originally threatened release, who kind of kicked this all off. I was on their Twitter page. And they also said that there had been at the time some sort of, you know, of apology to the recruit and his parents at the time back in 2013. And all this appears to be completely new information to Coach Whittingham, right?
Yeah, and that's where there's already I mean, first of all, I'm proud of you for knowing what a defensive coordinator was, and that this was.
I didn't say I knew what a defensive coordinator was.
On the men's football team, not the women's football team. But I just love how you're like, can I roll this story out? This sports story.
Well, you know, I like football.
I know you do.
Football is something that I've embraced over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
And look, this is in our wheelhouse. This is something that's happening right now. And you know, when it came down, I saw. Here's how it happens. I get these emails from Paul Kirk, he's the associate athletic director for communications for the University of Utah, and he does an amazing job. And I just want to say right off the bat, the school has handled this amazingly.
You think so? What did you like about the way it was
just like, hey, this is what's going on, and here are the most important people you need to hear from right now. The athletic director. You know, short of the school president, you had the athletic director, you had the head coach, and you had the person who is, you know, the perpetrator, apparently, of sending these texts out.
Right.
Now,
and it's not alleged. All this has been admitted. They're saying, yes, this really did happen.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. You have all the people, and you have the school saying, we don't stand for this stuff. This is not what we're about. We're investigating this. We're suspending him right now. I think that there are a lot of, there's so much cynicism that floats around right now with this, which is where people go, oh, yeah, you just wait. They're just giving themselves some time to be able to come up with an excuse to keep him. The thing is there's something about bringing in an outside, group to be able to analyze this thing for review on whether or not, one, this has been something that's happened before, or two, if this is something that warrants, like, the school's going to have to decide, is it worth keeping Morgan Scalley with this now new baggage
from
2013 on? And I will tell you, this is not a small decision to make, Ethan, because in many circles,
it's impactful.
Morgan Scalley is the heir apparent to the head coaching job at the University of Utah after Coach Whittingham leaves. I mean, so this is not just like a guy who kind of is just coming through town, is going to coach here for a little while, and it's easy to get rid of him. Because that happens sometimes where it's like,
that's right.
He hadn't even really coached here at Arkansas for 5 minutes, and he's not even from here. This guy played at Utah. Morgan Scalley has a reputation here as being one of the most intense and loving and lovable kind of coaching figures. And so when this comes out, none of it has to – here's the thing, though. I don't want to make any of my comments seem like I'm defending the comment
at all.
I'm telling you right now, Morgan Scalley, every interaction I've ever had with him, and it's always been a media coach situation, right? But he is one of the ones that will look right at you. This is a guy who doesn't even – he turns off social media for the entire football season. Yeah. He's like, see you guys later. I'll see you in the fall.
Alex, I don't interpret any of your, defending.
The school has a responsibility. If they were to fire Morgan Scalley, I hope that they do it knowing exactly what they're doing and not feeling pressure for it.
And
just like I hope
see.
That they're not going to keep the job. I don't want them. I cannot wait to see what this review says, because I don't want him to keep his job for the wrong reason and to get fired for the wrong reason either. I want to make sure that it's all there and it's all in the up and up, because
they have to. It's a very public program.
But at the same time, we can be affected so much by the. By the vitriol that goes on right now, and there is way more social pressure to act swiftly and quickly on these things. And I'm glad that they came out with the comments that they did very quickly. I think the school did an amazing job with it.
Well, I guess it's nice that they're getting out ahead of it. It seems like, but here's where I think they're going to have to look, because the side issue of whether or not he really is. In fact, a racist. We don't have to look at that, because I think from an employment situation, if I were Morgan Scalley's manager, this is what I would see. Okay, I would look at, among the other things, right? Aside from the slur itself. Okay, aside from that, and maybe I should say this in addition to that. Okay, because you can think whatever you want about a slur from 8 years ago. In addition to that, under my employment, if I were his manager, he held extremely inappropriate communications with a potential student at the school, potential team member, who was maybe even at the time a minor. Extremely inappropriate. Not only that, it went to the point where an apology was even issued to a recruit and his parents. Back then, an apology was issued. He went that far. That happened. number one. And number two, that it was apparently kept from Coach Whittingham, that all of this happened without Coach Whittingham knowing. And that,
well,
I think that's a problem, that it went that far and that that actually happened and that Coach Whittingham was in the dark.
And you've already got people, but you've already got people going, this is ultimately Coach Whittingham's program. This is a guy who is coaching, you know, for him. This is a kind of an agent for him. And so this reflects on Coach Whittingham. Coach Witt in the same press release gave his, you know, thoughts on this. Any form of racist language is not only unethical or anti-ethical to our policies and our values, but is an affront to all of us, especially our African American community members.
Yeah,
and I get it. I here's the thing. This is such a hard deal. I'll tell you why too. Because look, Drew Brees this week. Drew Brees this week says it's a hard deal.
Because what makes it hard?
Because of how many feelings are hurt right now. Think of all the recruits that love him, have loved him over the years. African American players that have played for him, who are sticking up for him, who are standing by him, saying, "No, I know this guy. I love this guy. He's never said or done anything, you know, to the contrary of anything that stands for what the university should stand for, and et cetera, et cetera." I don't know how much he's learned from that 2013 incident. So I don't know what the deal is. We've got something on the air here.
Yeah, there's something else kind of coming through here. Well, Alex, I guess I see your point on that.
I'm just saying that
when the
feelings
really
are hurt right now, and then there are a lot of people who are trying to wrap their head around, including a lot of his African-American players that have played for him, who are saying, look, we love this guy. And they should find out exactly what the circumstances were. I just want to know if he made progress back then, or if this is the first time that he's having to face any sort of,
I don't know,
real consequence, and, you know, social consequence.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the university is going to go through the same process, I think, that Weber State did, right? And that is, all right, is this someone that we believe can represent the university? Is this someone that can do an effective and responsible job with the students that are entrusted to his care? These relationships are important, right? And these are the decisions that the university's got to make. And did this person behave in a way that we believe that he can be trusted moving forward? Because honestly, I think that a big part of this is not just the language that he used, not just the fact that he felt okay enough to express this to someone else, right? Not just in his own mind, not just in a dark moment in his own personal thoughts that he tamped down with a little hammer, that it came out of his mouth, that he expressed it openly to someone. And that it was also advanced to a point, there was some kind of dialogue about it. It included a parent, and none of that was run up the chain of command.
I mean,
in my mind, that is an additional problem. I think from a management perspective, you would have to see that as an additional problem. Now, is the fact that so much time has passed a big part of it? Well, I don't know how the university is going to see that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Let's take a quick break here, Ethan. When we come back, I'm just going to ask you that question about all of this, about the same thing. You know, whether or not that this is the number one question that it gets asked is from 2013. Isn't that a while ago? Like, why are we talking about it now? Is the time thing an issue for you? Is the time thing an issue for people who are listening right now? 57500 is the text number. We'll come back. Plus, we have the NFL's commissioner making a stand in 2020 that he says they should have made a lot sooner. We'll have that audio for you next. Stay with us right here. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
Nightside. 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 This is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
Past then.
When?
Just now.
Wear it now.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey.
Hey, Ethan, before we get started here, I have some actual business here.
Okay.
In the form of the National Weather Service. This is an official National Weather Service. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Salt Lake, Davis, Tooele, and Utah counties beginning at 6.06 p.m. and ending at 7.06 p.m. I guess that would have been, we're right in the middle of this here. So the National Weather Service issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Salt Lake, Davis, Tooele, and Utah counties beginning just about 15 minutes ago and ending this evening at 7.06 p.m. So that's from the National Weather Service. And so there you go. We're in the middle of a severe thunderstorm warning for basically the entirety of the mass of the populace here in the state of Utah, right here along the Wasatch Front. So
yeah.
We'll keep our eyes peeled for anything. I mean, we can see a lot of clouds forming and everything around Broadcast House, but this is, you know, we're expecting some weather, obviously, over the last few days. So there you go. Ethan, we've been chatting a little bit about Morgan Scalley being suspended by the University of Utah indefinitely as they investigate texts that were sent apparently in 2013 that contained a racial slur. Morgan Scalley told the athletic director and Coach Kyle Whittingham that indeed that text was sent. He confirmed it with them. Obviously, Mark Harlan wasn't here at the university. It was Dr. Hill that was running things then in the athletic department. And then, but Coach Whittingham, he was the head coach still, obviously. And this came as a surprise to him. This is what he said. He was shocked and disappointed to find out this had happened. That's something that you said, Ethan, was, you know, if this thing isn't getting run up the flagpole, like, hey, how do we handle this?
Then up to management,
right?
Yeah.
Then that's that's the thing is that Morgan Scalley, for all intents and purposes, is, you know, upper management already.
Well,
he's
the heir apparent to the head coaching position, as you indicated, but also he's the defensive coordinator for a program that is nationally recognized for its defense.
These are highly, highly, highly paid men in their positions.
Yeah, he is performing. I mean, we love the Utes. Obviously, it's the team that I cheer for, and they're our local school. We sometimes forget that Morgan Scalley is executing at an elite level, and it's like nationwide. I mean, he is among the best.
He is sought after. There are other schools that have tried to lure him away.
That's right. And so it's, I think I'm glad the university has taken this seriously. You asked the question of whether or not time was a factor, and I don't know how the university is going to see that.
That's the number one thing people are texting in. They're saying, how is it? It's a 7 or 8 year old text. Come on. You know,
here's the thing though. Here's the thing. And this is maybe a lesson for us here in Utah. Morgan Scalley is not an outlier. He's not an outsider. He's not a weirdo. He comes from the bosom of Utah and Utah culture. Yet he felt it was okay at a certain point in time to do this. Now, and this is setting aside any other question of anything else. He did this. And, you know, here in the state of Utah, we have a very kind of calm society. And I think we make a lot of assumptions about ourselves. But I think that we ought to take very, very seriously that someone who, like I said, just comes from right in the bosom of our local culture is expressing sentiment like this. And I know it's shared. And I know this because, Alex, you and I have heard among, you know, our community, quietly people share similar types of sentiment. Mm-hmm. And they largely get away with it because they are around people who are like them and who don't want to stir the pot. And, you know, it's something that we need to change because we are raising young people still, and we would never admit this and we would never really call it this publicly, but look at how aggressively, for example, Hispanic immigrants have been dealt with at our schools, how much they've been bullied over the last 3 years in Utah schools. We've seen a lot of that reporting. It doesn't kind of get widespread because, in part, I think because we don't like to think about that. We don't like to think of ourselves as those kinds of people that would mistreat people. But the fact of the matter is that it's not uncommon for us to raise up young people in our children who did not understand what they should have about race and race relations. Instead, they understood that something completely different. And maybe this is a real opportunity to kind of stop letting ourselves get away with that. That's just kind of my take. I think one of the reasons why it's so startling that it's Morgan Scali is because of Morgan Scali.
Well,
he's not a weirdo. He's not an outsider. He's not someone else. He is one of us.
This is a guy who's all American academic.
He's not just that. He's all Utah.
Yeah.
He's all Utah.
Here, I'll tell you too, because we moved from. We've been in the Highland boundaries for the last 10 years, you know, and that's where he went to high school. And he is like, everyone's like, there's nobody is better than Morgan Scali at this school. I mean, all the lists of amazing people that have gone through Highland High School in the football program, they have some amazing people, but they're like, oh, this is a guy who is from here, raised here, you know.
Yeah.
But like a 3.97 GPA, Utah, has his master's degree and all these things. He has this, and so that's why you look at it and you go, no, this isn't like this is a person who has the same type of credentials as your next door neighbor. You know what I mean?
Think about it like this too. And maybe this is an opportunity to kind of get with our kids about this. Because this is 8 years later, Morgan Scali's job is hanging by a thread. Now, whether or not you think that's fair, I can't answer that question for you. But what if it was your kid? What if it was your kid that was caught on tape in high school chanting, build the wall at some Hispanic kids? Because guess what? That happens across the state. What if then it was your son or daughter that was caught chanting, you know, stuff like that, and they're on camera, and it follows them into adulthood? Do you want to be having this kind of conversation? We've got to educate our kids. We've got to educate our kids. Someone didn't have this conversation with Morgan Scali. And again, I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but this conversation was missed.
Yeah.
At some point, he felt like it was okay to do this. Also, the internet proves once again there are no such thing as private conversations. So remember that too.
Everything's digitized and lives out there somewhere. So the question is what's that social? How long until, you know, we look at it and we say, you know, we're going to give them a you were young and stupid, because there's a lot of young and stupid that happens out there. Is this one of those? We're going to still talk about some of these things here going on. We're trying to have an entertaining, fun Friday night, and then it gets ruined by news. But, you know, we'll still have those. We have first world problems coming up tonight. We've got all sorts of fun stuff planned to chat with you about here on the Nightside Project. Stay with us. More to go on KSL News Radio, news, traffic, and weather right here at the bottom of the hour.
Six 6:30 at KSL News Radio. I'm Jason Tulin. KSL's top stories this hour. Salt Lake City's police chief and mayor made brief statements today following the release of body cam video of a deadly shooting involving a 22-year-old man last month. KSL News Radio's Mark Juke with more.
Neither took questions. Chief Mike Brown only made a statement.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.